Hi, I'm Barbara Byers. Welcome back to part two of Spiritual Abuse. So I'm going to talk about some of the effects and what we do about some of these things. Often the effect on a person being seduced, manipulated, exploited, deceived can be, and I'm just going to read off some of these things: anxiety, self-doubt, walking on eggshells, insecurity, self-criticism, taking the blame that isn't theirs in order to keep the peace, confusion, loss of hope, feelings of powerlessness, loss of trust and confidence, and internalizing their abuser's words and actions and thinking it's their fault and their responsibility. And that is so typical. Victims end up blaming themselves and sometimes blaming themselves for their foolishness, and then that turns into despair. So we can stay in an abusive relationship out of fear and confusion and inability to really identify the problem and act on the truth. Now, sometimes we don't want to tell ourselves the truth about the problem, but victims are in limbo because they feel this confusion. Their thinking is cloudy. They can't think analytically because the very core of who they are has been damaged. And so we feel sort of this spiritual disorganization within, if you will, and we feel emotionally cut off from God's love. It's not true, but that's what we feel. And often the victim thinks, I'm in this church, in this relationship, I'm going to be rewarded for my loyalty. Isn't that what happens? And instead they were used, so they feel angry and confused and hurt. And there also can be a demonic component to this. It can be really subtle. Why do we stay in abusive relationships? Well, we're getting something out of it, or we wouldn't stay in it, something we've been craving or needing. And sometimes that will overshadow the negative, the manipulation and the abuse. So I might stay in a church because, hey, exciting things are happening here and I don't want to miss out. Or because the pastor has given me some special attention. Or if I stay in this relationship, when I'm being mistreated, at least he or she keeps coming back and I'm not alone. A lot of times we don't want to leave a church or an abusive relationship because then we feel alone. So the evil actually gets overshadowed by our need or our neediness and our wounds. To break free, either they leave us, fire us if we're in a church, which leaves us devastated usually, or we finally are strengthened by the Lord to see the truth, not just to see it, and we are willing to suffer the consequences and the pain of seeing what kind of system we've been in and facing the process of change, which will be painful because as we come out of denial, it's painful because we've been using denial to keep the pain at bay. So in a betrayal bond, we bond with people who betray us and who hurt us, spiritual leaders who are like that. And we may stay loyal to them despite the exploitation. Patrick Carnes wrote, "Betrayal intensifies the human trait of bonding deeply in the presence of danger or fear." We might think just the opposite happens, but no, we bond more deeply because of the intensity of fear and the presence of danger. But it's a breach of trust when someone betrays us. What we counted on to be true, we find is deceptive. And sometimes it's so difficult because there's just enough truth mixed in for us to think, well, everything seems all right. And someone said, even a little truth with just the right spin can cover the outrageous. So it obscures what's true. But when we're in those kind of relationships, our well-being is continually being sacrificed. And that's what we have to recognize and watch for. But, you know, we can be really unaware of our feelings sometimes. We get so embroiled in a church or in a situation that we'll even abandon our own feelings in order to stay in that situation. And we may even go to our abuser and try to help them understand what we're feeling and try to help them understand what they're doing. We're going to convert them. You know, if they understand, they'll stop it. Well, good luck with trying to change them. Because what's typical of an abuser is they will flip the table and they will make you the one who's defective. And then you'll feel the shame of it, the uncertainty of it, and the destructiveness of it to our own heart. That's why clarity on this is so essential, because it's a very complex and supercharged issue, spiritual abuses. And if we block our pain, if we overlook it, it's very costly to our soul, because we've got to recognize how deep did the impact of this go and how long has it lasted. The longer it lasted, the deeper the impact. And then we can form a whole life pattern of these kind of relationships with spiritual leaders. So is there healing and recovery for us? Well, yes, absolutely. Always in the Lord. He is our Redeemer. Jesus, our Redeemer. The problem is we often feel alienated from the very one who can help us because we've been spiritually abused. Now we don't know who to trust. And we can also feel very ashamed of ourselves because we were manipulated. I feel so foolish, you know, that I let that happen. So I want to recall what I mentioned last time in Isaiah 34:30, and he talks to the people who were dominated by these shepherds, and he says, "Woe to you shepherds!" And here's the promise to those who've been dominated. I love this. Ezekiel 34:30. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. That's you today if you've been spiritually abused. I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered, he is among us, his very presence. So I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. Cloudy and gloomy. Confused, depressed, anxious, and I will bring them out. I will feed them on the mountains, by the streams, in all the inhabited places. I will feed them in a good pasture. There are good churches. I will lead them to rest. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick of heart. They will know that I am with them, and they are my people. Isn't that a beautiful promise of hope? He doesn't leave us. So what's the process that we need to go through for this healing? Well, first, we're going to have to acknowledge the abuse. To get any healing, we come into the light and we name it. This is what happens. And it is spiritual abuse, betrayal, exploitation. And then we feel our feelings about it. We feel the anger. The anger, Jesus did that with the Pharisees. He showed such anger toward them. That's the starting point of healing, is telling the truth, coming up out of denial, getting that window of reality that we have to be locked into, that we have so long backed away from. And our anger can actually liberate the truth. We break the secrecy. We feel the anger. We stop repressing the truth and we start to gain clarity. And that's a process, and we'll be more and more clear as we come out of a toxic system. We have to stop being loyal to a toxic system and commit to the truth at all costs. And it is costly. Wholeness is costly. Wholeness requires that we break the secrecy. and see things as they are and tell the truth. Second thing is we have to look at our part in it. So years ago, I read a book by Jean Edwards called Letters to a Devastated Christian, young man who was devastated by a church leader. And Jean Edwards says, we have to look at what idolatry is in me that I was part of that. What was I willing to not pay attention to in my discernment to try to get my needs met? Proverbs 14:15 says, the naive believe everything, but the prudent man considers his steps. You know, often we stay victimized and bitter because we're not really willing to acknowledge our part. And we may have truly been victimized by a spiritual abuser, but we still have to say, all right, where was I? Did I have a part in somehow being even 5% complicit in that? Third thing, we get with someone, a counselor, a trusted pastor who understands the dynamics of a spiritually abusive system. That helps bring so much clarity when we do that. We no longer feel so crazy. We start saying, yes, I saw it. Yes, I see how it operates. Fourth thing is we grieve. We access the pain. We feel the anger, the sadness, the loss. We admit it. Fifth thing is we need a deep level of prayer over our wounded spirit. We need others, healthy others, praying for us. We may even need deliverance from any kind of oppression that attached to us. We need the renewal from the Holy Spirit. Sixth thing, we break the bond of that attachment. Some people call it breaking a soul tie. We've been attached to spiritual leaders in the system. We break that bond, and that's not disloyalty. That's absolutely necessary. I'm no longer going to be bonded to that kind of darkness. Seven, we forgive. This is so key. We forgive and we bless them and we forgive ourselves. The eighth thing, and I could spend, 15 minutes on each of these easily, is we make meaning of it. In other words, we learn and grow from it. What did I suffer? How will this help me? Is it possible that toxic relationship can go through a transformation? It may and may not be, but how we think about it can be transformed. So we change our perception of it, and we change the impact of it. I'm no longer necessarily the victim. I shift my thinking so I actually gain from it. My whole emotional, intellectual stance toward that person or church is different. I accept what was, I see it more clearly, I forgive, I'm forgiven. And that really helps me to stop thinking that I'm the big victim in all of it. Ninth, we reclaim our heart. Often we have given up our heart. We've given up our discernment. We decide, I won't give my power to another. I will respect leadership. I will honor leadership. I will trust to the extent they're trustworthy, but I don't give up my heart to anyone. And we begin to trust more deeply the discernment the Holy Spirit gives us. And for some of it's from the lessons we've learned. We commit to being ourselves, that God has given us a good heart. You know, the essence of spiritual abuse and betrayal is seduction and deception and manipulation. But we set aside our intuition when those things were happening because the Holy Spirit will always help us discern those things. So now we reclaim that. 10 is we set boundaries on what we will no longer tolerate. And at the first whiff of it, we start paying real attention. We see it specifically and we start recognizing any ambushes toward us. We stop ignoring and discounting warning signs. And that may have been a life pattern with us where others exploit us. Psychiatrist R.D. Lang said, the range of what we think and do is limited by what we fail to notice. Failing to notice shapes our thoughts and desires. We need to notice, and we can ask the Holy Spirit to help us notice. And then lastly, we have to make a central decision not to repeat the old compulsive patterns and to get help in learning the new ways. So I want to say just here a final word about the church. Truth is sometimes considered a threat to the church. It ought to be the thing that we give most beautifully is the truth. But sometimes when we speak up with the truth, it's considered a threat. We see things and then we tell the truth. But you know, we actually love our abusers when we tell the truth and help strip them of their deceptions. We let the truth and the light shine in, and believers can step forward and do that. That's the courage of truth. And we who have been healed from some of this victimization need to be stepping forward, speaking the truth in love, mercy and grace, but courageously, uncompromisingly saying, now that's a toxic system and I won't be part of it, and I'll help heal others who are willing to come out of it. So a few books I want to recommend. I recommended Jean Edwards, Letters to a Devastated Christian, Stephen Arterburn, Toxic Faith, it's a classic, Ronald N. Roth, Churches That Abuse, Ken Blue, Spiritual Abuse, and Patrick Carnes, Betrayal Bond. That's not specifically spiritual abuse, but good information. So I hope these part one and part two have helped you recognize and maybe begin the healing process. Hope you'll tune in next time.